Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 60. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, don't bother me right now, I'm on Facebook.
Dude, you're on Facebook?
I am, I'm looking at all our new listeners.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
How many we got?
127.
127 fans?
127 fans.
Wow, that's a lot of fans.
So we'd like to say, hello fans.
Hello fans. Thanks for listening to us on today's podcast.
It's cool, dude. This Facebook thing actually has worked out pretty nicely. So if you're listening for the first time, welcome. And if you're not listening for the first time, hey, thanks for sticking with us during this really long and boring off season.
Yeah, it's been kind of a long summer, although we are up to 80 podcast episodes, which is quite the milestone.
What are you... Abe Lincoln?
So what? I read the Gettysburg Address, 80.
You do have a beard.
Yes, I do.
And that's about all that you... 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth Scott Nickel.
That's right.
Upon this continent.
You didn't even compliment me on my top hat, dude. I can't believe you didn't
It's a little bit disturbing. I was actually going to ask you to take the top hat off.
All right, I'll take it off.
Okay.
I have to.
Thank you.
I was wearing it for the occasion. We got Facebook fans, 80. Everything's going great.
Good, dude. Congratulations.
Yes, yes. Well, also congratulations. Congratulations are in order to Jeremy Roenick. Called it a career. As he said, he had a press conference. A fairly tearful one.
Sure. Not as bad as Mike Schmidt.
Yeah. That's sort of the benchmark against all which all tearful press conferences, retirement speeches are made. Where I don't even think he got through a clause.
No.
He said, "My name is Mike Schmidt," and he kind of bricked.
This was me. I enjoyed watching it, and especially seeing him react to his friend's call in, which I thought was a really great touch by the Sharks or whoever put that together. As far as getting Mike Padano on the phone, Keith Tkachuk on the phone, Chris Chelios on the phone.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That was awesome.
JR's class act's just a question of what he's going to do next. Reading RoenickLife.com, it seems like he has tons of offers.
I'm sure he does. Dude.
You think he's actually going to do Dancing with the Stars? Someone said he might do Dancing with the Stars.
Well, I thought I had heard him say that they had asked him to do it before.
Yeah, like last year, but he was going to get in the way of the season
you
or something.
You think he wouldn't do that?
Of course he would
Of course he would do that.
Yeah.
I hope he does it.
Yeah,
that
would
be pretty
sweet.
Dude, that would suck, because then I mean I'd actually probably be watching that show.
Oh, man. That is a tough question. I don't think I would. I still don't
You
think
wouldn't
I would.
Watch it?
No.
Dude.
I'd look for the clips. I'd wait for like, the clips where
you
he can, talks.
You could TiVo it and scan and, you know, you don't don't need to watch, you know, Terry Garr.
That's
dancing around or.
Thank God for TiVo.
Else, who else might be on, you know, Gary Coleman?
Yeah.
You could. Well, I'd watch that.
No, note to self, write fan mail to TiVo. Actually, dude, I just got UVerse, so now it's like I got a million channels, but I don't have center ice.
I know,
anymore.
Dude. I told you I'm calling it. You're not going to make it through the new year with that.
But I'm going to try to do the center ice
on your laptop.
Yeah, I'm going to try that.
Okay, whatever. You're not. I just can't imagine that you're either going to be at my house all the time or you're going to burn out your computer.
Dude. I'm going to buckle like a belt, maybe.
So you think JR is going to go on to be a commentator, dude? Yet someone was there was even a comment in the press conference about him maybe having a front office job, wink wink.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think about that?
I think it's possible. I think he's such a outgoing personality that if you want him in the front office, it would have to be very much of a customer facing role, not, you know, the Steve Yzerman assistant to the GM working behind the scenes gaining skills so you can move up in the organization. No, I think, you know, this is what I think. I think JR is going to do for a year or two. He's going to go do all this crazy Dancing with the Stars crap. You know, he doesn't want to be tied down with a hard schedule. That's why he's not going to be an assistant coach for the Sharks. I think Randy Hahn said, you know, when we interviewed him, that that's one of the toughest, most time-consuming jobs in the NHL as an assistant coach. JR is not going to want to work 90 hours a week as an assistant coach after playing hockey for 20 years.
Dude, he can't be controlled. Okay. That's what we love about
him.
He's a renegade. He's got that crazy look in his eye. Mm-hmm. You don't want someone coming up to him after a game where maybe the Sharks lose 6-1 and he's an assistant to the general manager and he just airs the entire team's dirty laundry and sells out Chris Chelios again. I don't think he's ever going to work for a team in that setting. I think Matthew Barnaby better be looking over his shoulder because I think once ESPN gets their hands on JR, I mean, don't you think, you know, he'll be on a pregame show? He'd be like hockey's Charles Barkley.
That's true. I hope so. I think
he'd be irreverent and say whatever he wants. I have no doubt that he'll go far, dude. But this is my question for you. Mm. And you posed it on the blog.
I did.
JR, Locke Hall of Famer or not, dude?
Well, after reading,
I'm asking you. I'm not saying what other people are saying.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, my opinions can be changed by good points, and that post I read on Puck Daddy, you know, made me think twice. Pierre Turgeon has comparable numbers, maybe even better numbers, and Pierre Turgeon, to a lot of people, is not a Hall of Famer. To me, I vote them both in. I think Jeremy Roenick is a Hall of Famer. My criteria for the Hall of Fame is more than just goals, assists, plus, minus, and awards. I think Jeremy Roenick was a good ambassador for the game. He is a legend for various reasons, not the least of which is starring in a video game of all things. I mean, this guy really sort of transcends the sport, and that's the kind of guy that you want in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be voted in, absolutely.
I agree, absolutely, and I'll tell you why I don't think Turgeon should be in.
Okay.
Because his name's Pierre. I mean, come on, dude, right? Wait, we don't
Who's
have a...
Who's with me? Who's with me?
We don't have a fan on Facebook named Pierre, do we? If we do, I'm horribly sorry.
You better check. Good thing we don't have anyone in Canada.
Oh, we do. Listen. We have some Canadians.
I know. I was being facetious.
Oh.
So anyway, JR calls it a career. I think he's going to sort of float around, do whatever he wants for a while. And I think in a couple years, he'll be back in the game either as an analyst or as a commentator or possibly with a team. But I'm with you. You want him in a job where he can speak his mind, and the best place to do that is where we are sitting right now in front of a microphone.
Yeah, well, if JR, if you're listening,
yeah,
you want to come join us, come join the dudes.
Come join the dudes.
At our secret recording location.
That's right. A new undisclosed location.
That's
now.
Right, dude. That's right.
Second news item, Mike Greer does sign back with an old team, the Buffalo Sabres, a one-year deal. 1 year deal. I think it's probably about $1 million, maybe even a little bit less. The market's pretty tough out there. There's a lot of guys who haven't signed. Alex Tanguay, still unsigned. Robert Lang, still unsigned.
The most shocking part about this is that the Buffalo Sabres signed an unrestricted free agent.
Right. Well, once we hear the money, I think we're going to understand why. I'm sure it wasn't a lot of money.
Be more than a mil, right?
I'm sure he didn't break that. What he made it? What one?
And, 1 year? What he was making? 1.7. Yeah.
1.75 for the Sharks. So
you know he takes a pretty significant decrease, which I think is warranted based on his performance. I was kind of looking at Buffalo Sabres chatter on their blogs, and they're like, great signing, great to have him back, what an impact player.
It's like, careful.
Like, okay,
wait till you see.
There's a reason why we let him walk out of here.
It's true.
And it wasn't because he wasn't a nice guy, I mean, I'm sure he was.
Yeah, a class act, professional in every possible sense of the word, but unfortunately his skills did seem to be slipping a wee bit.
I think that he's lost a step, and his injuries have caught up with him, and I wish him luck. Good guy, but I think Buffalo's going to see what we saw, which is not much.
Yeah, unfortunately. And the guy supposed to take his spot is Torrey Mitchell, still unsigned. Qualifying offer, him, Staubitz, and Greiss, all unsigned. These are three guys who could conceivably all be in the regular roster spot, in the everyday roster. Greiss is a backup, Staubitz maybe as a fourth line. We heard so many nice things said about him by Doug Wilson at the State of the Sharks. And Torrey Mitchell, who everybody is, played in the playoffs, played a few games, looked good, but, it's not enough to really judge. I mean, Torrey Mitchell, this is make or break Torrey Mitchell time here this year. What do you think the kind of money he's going to get in the kind of term? Can you imagine the Sharks signing him for more than 1 year?
Torrey Mitchell?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I could see it being similar to what they did with Pavelski. not the same amount of money that Pavelski got. He did, 2 years. He's getting about 1.6, at least as far as his cap hit.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to do a you prove it, Torrey, deal to him, because I think he showed what an impact he has on this team just in the limited time that he had in the playoffs. But as far as what the holdup is, I mean, what do you think?
I think the holdup is there's so many things that are unknown at this point. And since a qualifying offer was given, that means the Sharks have his rights. Certainly, I guess somebody else could sign him to an offer sheet and the Sharks would have to either match or take the compensation. But I guess Doug Wilson wants a little certainty with the rest of the roster before he starts throwing more money around, because the Sharks are already up against the cap. I mean, this Healy thing continues, right? I mean, it continues and continues.
Could it be a situation, dude, if the Sharks were able to shed some long-term salary commitment with, you know, the usual suspects of Ehrhoff, Chichu, Mahalik being kind of the names that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that maybe Doug Wilson would then be more comfortable offering him a longer term?
I suppose, but I can't imagine that being a wise move given that he had a serious knee injury, right? I mean, look what happened to Ryan Clough. What did he get? A year? Did he just get 1 year or did he get two?
He got 1 year.
He got 1 year.
Yeah.
So I think...
And then he was rewarded later.
That's right. And I think Mitchell might be the same kind of deal. I think if you give Mitchell a 1 year deal, he might still be restricted next year, which is a good thing. So you can save a little money this year. Next year, you're going to know more. How's he recovering from the injury? How's he bouncing back? Is he progressing the way we expected? Is he really going to be that third line energy guy that can also put up points? Those questions can be answered a year from now. And if it's not good, then we're not stuck with a bad contract, right? A really horrible contract. So we shall see with Mitchell. But
yep, we'll see. As far as with Grice, dude, this is I'm going out on a limb a little bit here. Because
mm-hmm.
I still think that Doug Wilson, well, I mean, maybe considers Grice to be some part of the future here.
What, or, Marty Turco is the backup dude?
That it's possible that if Grice is still on the team and there's no other move made to bring in another goalie, I mean, we're not thinking that that's what's going to happen.
I don't think so.
I could see it's possible that maybe he's going to try and lock up Grice for 2 years.
Yeah.
So that next year he's getting a sweetheart deal on what could be maybe the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if Grice signs 2 years, 1.8 mm-hmm. total, then you've got a starting goalie playing for under $1 million maybe next year,
mm-hmm.
or they could decide to go with someone else. And Brad Staubitz, all three of these guys are in the plans, but I think you're right. They're just waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, dude, another week of enduring the Heatley
yeah.
talks, dude.
Yeah.
I said 75% or 70% last week.
Yeah.
You still sticking to your number? What did you say?
I said under. I just took the under on yours.
That's right.
I think I wussed out and actually didn't quote one. I'm going to say 25%.
25%.
So, and
but I'm that feeling a little less confident.
Oh, yeah.
This
Are
week.
You? I was going to ask
I am.
You.
I'm feeling a little less confident just based on the pure time lapse of the situation. But this is still kind of my working theory of this is that, Brian Murray keeps coming back to Doug Wilson with, I don't want Chichu and Ehrhoff. I want Seto and Ehrhoff. And Doug Wilson goes, no. I want McGinn and Ehrhoff. No.
Right.
I want, and Doug Wilson's not budging. He's mm-hmm. got his offer, which reportedly is Chichu and Ehrhoff, and he's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And he's either going to get Heatley for his price or he's willing to not do it. Right. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's wise, because I think there are a lot of questions about Heatley. It's not like this guy is just an awesome guy in the room. He's going to come in, he's going to get along with everybody, and he's going to put up 60 goals. Maybe the last part might be true, but the other stuff, it's a little scary, and it's a lot of money. So, you want to make sure that you get the right price for that, and Doug Wilson certainly is not panicking.
No.
So I guess that's a good thing.
I don't think he's going to offer up any of his young, inexpensive players. Like you said, you have to have that balance right. of guys who are not making a lot of money who are contributing, and then high priced talent. If you throw them, well, we'll give you Couture, we'll give you Seto,
yeah,
we'll
right.
give you Pavs, please.
Those
you know.
Guys have to be off the table.
Yeah.
If I was the GM, those guys would not be moved unless you're getting, one of the top five players in the NHL period. Heatley is not that guy. You got to have a guy like Seto that plays well, plays good minutes, good production for under $1 million. You have to have players like that.
Right. I mean, if we were talking Patrecki and Seto and you're getting like Kovalchuk back, dude, would you even consider that?
Considering he's only got 1 year on his deal, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would not make that deal.
What if he came with extension?
Extension for a good amount of money. If he was extended at $8 million a year, I'd still say no.
He's probably going to sign a 30-year deal with somebody.
I'm sure. 35.
I hear the Blackhawks are looking into it.
Yeah, I hear they are.
Hello.
All right. But the one player we know the Sharks are going to get is Theo Fleury. As our listeners
He was a Shark for a brief period of time.
Never
dude.
Actually
that's
played,
not,
right?
That's the truth.
That's absolutely true. I remember. And so was Mark Messier. Don't forget.
That's right.
So we got some comments on the blog, and we got an email from Chris. And he says, dude, summer no hockey, not much to talk about. So, in light of the recent news of a possible Theo Fleury comeback, I'm curious to know from each of you, who would be the most interesting player to come out of retirement from the last, say, 4 to 6 years, and which team could use someone like that the most?
Dude, it's a really
it's a
good interesting question.
Question.
You could go a lot of different directions with this. Dude.
I know. I'm wondering which direction you're going to go.
Well, I thought about a few different players. I tried to think about somebody who I thought could actually still play. Because I think off the top of my head, first I was like, okay, well, Mario Lemieux, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know, he retired for a medical reason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He can't play anymore.
And he's an owner.
Right, so he's not coming back. And then my mind then next went to, I thought, well, Brett Hull
yeah.
went out kind of on the top of his game. Although, he played 5 games for Phoenix and... You know, and then he retired. But, you know, his last full season, he had 68 points in 81 games for the Wings.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. But he's 45.
Yeah.
So I said Brian Leetch.
Brian Leetch. Okay.
Okay. Because he could still play when he retired in 2006. Well, he retired in 2007.
Right.
But the Bruins that year, he was second on the team in ice time, first in points for defenseman. He played 5.5 minutes on the power play a game. Okay.
Jeez.
He'd be 41 right now. Mm-hmm. So that's not unreasonable compared to a lot of other players. I think that he could help a team that's on the brink and he could play the power play for them and log, you know, some decent minutes. And so, you know, I thought, well, it would certainly make sense. The New York Rangers could need a guy like that. Mm. Or if he felt like taking a risk, he could go to a team like the Columbus Blue Jackets. How much better would they be with Brian Leetch?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that was my player, dude.
All right. So I'm going a little crazy.
Okay.
Because this is, you know, not particularly realistic. This guy actually retired in 2002.
Ooh.
Played 61 games with the Chicago Blackhawks.
He
had, here, maybe this will help. He had 1 goal, 3 assists, and 176 penalty minutes.
I don't know, dude.
Bob Probert.
Oh!
I want Bob Probert back in the league.
Nice.
Maybe.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Brashear's getting signed. Neal's getting signed. Jody Shelley still got a job. There's a need for goons. He's 44 years old, but you know he can probably still he can probably still toss the knuckles a little bit. It's not like you have to be like, you know, you don't have to be Carl Lewis to do that.
He's going
to
be drinking Insure through a straw in the penalty box, dude.
Hey, he's younger than Chris Chelios.
Oops, I crapped my pants.
I mean, you know, put him back on the Wings, right? I mean, all the Wings fans would love him. You know, they don't have a goon. They need one. Bob Probert on the Wings. It'd be fun to watch.
I would tune in.
And then, of course, he would have to be benched for all the games he plays against the Sharks. But then, of course, he would be there fighting all the other teams in the West and beating the crap out of everyone else.
I liked it.
That's what I want to say.
I liked it. You know, I thought for a moment saying that the player I wanted to come out of retirement would be Alexei Yashin, but I realized he didn't retire. He just sucks.
He's still playing. Isn't he playing in the Swiss League?
Yeah.
He's still playing, yeah.
Banished from the NHL.
But he's married to Carol Alt, and he's like living in the Alps. I mean, how bad can it be? Yeah. Anyway, so Chris, I knew you'd like my answer because you're the Wings fan, and I didn't do it for you though. I did it because that's actually good. That's actually a good answer.
You're not buttering his muffin.
I'm
dude?
Not pandering.
Okay.
I refuse.
All right.
Okay. Next question from Jeremy also mentions Theo Fleury. So that's really the
a lot of people on the Theo Fleury bus.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Sharks are not going to get Theo Fleury, but Jeremy does have. Crazy trade.
Yeah.
Crazy trade.
Well, I kind of screwed up that sound effect. Somehow.
Well, you know, you got to love home production. Huh?
Yeah, you know, okay, so.
We're truly a mom and pop shop.
Right? I'll fix it for next week. But crazy trade. So JT's got some crazy trades for us.
Okay.
And.
He's got two?
He's got two. So okay. This is going to be the new poll question. Which one's crazier? To fill roster spots, Ehrhoff, to the Capitals for Milan Jurcina and Dave Steckel or Matt Bradley, ex-Shark.
Oh, or Matt Bradley. It's like you're at a buffet of mediocre players.
Okay, second trade. To clear cap space, Ehrhoff and Chichu to St. Louis for Boys, Brad Boys, and BJ Crombean.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's talk about the second one. Yes, please. Okay. Brad Boyce, thank you.
That's good. A goal challenge forward for their leading scorer. And you're asking St. Louis to take on money in the deal. You're asking them to take like $6 million in salary in exchange for their leading scorer and like a pretty decent energy player who they got on waivers.
So the answer would be number two is the correct answer.
The crazier?
I'm saying I would take that.
Of course I'd take that trade, dude.
So let's talk about the first trade, because the first trade is probably a little bit closer. Milan Jurcina and Dave Steckel. Milan Jurcina is a pretty decent defenseman. The problem is the Sharks don't need defensemen. So trading Ehrhoff for another defenseman means we still have seven defensemen signed for, you know, over $1 million. Dave Steckel's he's decent. I mean, is he an upgrade over Brad Staubitz? I don't know enough about Dave Steckel, to be honest with you. But that particular trade, I would have to say, you know, on that one, because I don't, you know, if we're trading defense, we shouldn't be getting defense in return unless we're trading two for one or something like that. I just, you know, the second one, no-brainer for me. First one, no thanks. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction was yes, just because I think that there would be other moves that would have to go with it. You know, this wouldn't be a trade that you could make and then just stand pat with your roster, because it really didn't solve a whole heck of a lot other than bringing in a pretty quality third line player in Steckel, who I think pretty significant in their penalty kill. And but I don't see what the Capitals get out of this.
Yeah. Christian, I mean, they need defense. I mean, they could use defense. I mean, that's an upgraded defense for them.
Yeah, it is.
Ehrhoff is a better player than Jurcina.
That's true, but he's not the same type of player.
That's true.
And they already have Tom Pody. They already have Mike Green.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want another like kind of gunslinger running around out there?
Puck mover, maybe. I don't know.
You know, that's true. I mean, he could play in their up-tempo style. Dude, I don't know. That we'll have to let the listeners weigh in. Yeah, which one do you think is crazier?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jeremy. We appreciate the email, because anything that our listeners can do to keep us from actually developing content for the podcast, we're all about that.
We love a good interactive podcast.
That's right. Okay, and we got our final email is from Adam, who we've read emails the past couple of weeks. So anyway, he's got a couple points this week. And first, is it weird that San Jose essentially changed their team towards Marlowe's strengths and away from Thornton's, but they have said they will not trade Thornton, but have not said the same for Marlowe? So that's an interesting point.
Yeah, Adam sends very detailed emails here.
Yes.
And after reading this first question about how the team really has pledged their allegiance to the Joe Thornton of the United States of America and sort of left Marlowe hanging out to dry a little bit, I can't really argue with that point, and saying that the team maybe is a little more geared to Marlowe's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much to Joe, and I can't really argue with that point. I think that what we have to do is, at State of the Sharks, Todd McClellan really won me over as far as, you know, I admired the job that he did all year, but I really feel like he knows what he's doing. Like,
I
trust him. And if they've had discussions in the off season and they've prioritized that Joe Thornton and Dan Boyle are the cornerstones of this team, and that's McClellan's decision along with Doug Wilson's, then I kind of have to roll with that, dude.
Yeah, I kind of have to roll with that. And you brought up, you sort of skirted around what I would say to this, is that this is more of a function of McClellan than it is a function of Marlowe to me. So this style, this up-tempo style, is the way that McClellan rolls. This is how he wants his team to play.
Sure.
It just so happens that Marlowe is more suited than Thornton, but it also just so happens that Thornton's a better player, right? And it just so happens that maybe the Sharks aren't so happy with the leadership that Marlowe has lent to the team, or they're not happy with the method in which he's been a leader. And we've talked about this ad nauseum in previous podcasts. So maybe that's why Marlowe's hung out to dry. Maybe there's a little bit of a disconnect there between Marlowe and Thornton. But to me, Thornton's a better player. I would rather build a team around Thornton. You have him signed for longer. Therefore, he's the one you keep. So And the reason we play this style is because we brought in a guy who coached for the Red Wings, and that's the way the Red Wings play. And sure. That's the way we want the Sharks to play.
And that's why I don't totally buy into the Marlowe's going to be gone factor, because mm-hmm. he was effective in this style. I think if the Sharks continue to succeed, and even if they don't have playoff success, you know, who knows what's going to happen next year when we have, you know, $20 million of cap space, Nabby and Marlowe are off the books. Are they going to keep one, both, let them walk? I mean, we don't know what they've already decided. I'm sure they already have decided that mm-hmm. based on their performance. But it's hard to argue with your points, Adam. Yeah. What's his second question?
Second one is, he mentioned this once in the comments, but with all the Heatley talk in the past few weeks, I thought I would revisit it, even though it'll never happen. Who blinks first in a Marlowe for Phaneuf trade or a Thornton for Phaneuf trade?
Who blinks first?
Yeah.
Gosh. Honestly, I mean, if I'm Daryl Sutter, if you're offering me Joe Thornton for Dion Phaneuf, I would think that he was going to do it. I think he would say, let's call the commissioner right now.
Yeah. Thornton for Phaneuf, I think he would do it. Marlowe for Phaneuf? Well, I mean, all things. I mean, if we don't, I always have to take contracts. I'm always thinking about contracts, right? We only got one more year on Marlowe's deal. We got Phaneuf for several years at $5.8 million, which is really under market value for Phaneuf. If you think last season was an anomaly and not how he's going to play going forward, you know, again, I don't know why we would want that deal, because then we'd have 8 defensemen under contract, but I guess we just start waiving people. Cause if you can get Dion Phaneuf, then you do,
there'd have to be more involved in that trade. I think we'd have to be giving them a defenseman in return. But I mean, dude, even if they said we want Vlasic and Marlowe for Phaneuf, I think as a fan,
I would want them to do it. I would want them to do it. Yes.
And I think that I still think, you know, based on what we hear, you know, in the rumor mill, mm-hmm. that when they decided they were going to trade Pronger, Doug Wilson was on the phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they basically told him, you're nuts. We're not trading him to you. We don't want to see him all the time.
Right.
So, you know, he wanted to. He would have signed that same stupid extension that he got in Philly. He would have extended him. He would have tried to keep him. When Scott Niedermeyer was a second agent and rejected us for a second time.
Dude, he
probably called him and said, do you want to go, mm-hmm. you know, a couple hundred miles up the road here?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in it. He's looking for that second defenseman. It's hard to find, dude.
I don't think Phaneuf's going to get traded. It's just, I mean, they got Bomeister, they got Regier, they got all these guys, but still, you know, you don't just trade Phaneuf. He had one bad season, and it wasn't even that bad. I mean, it wasn't awful, but
if they are not scoring goals, it's very possible that he could be a surprise mid-season trade. Not even at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Like a trade that goes down that,
say, November 30th.
But if they're struggling.
Right.
That Phaneuf could be the one who's moved there in order to get some scoring in return. If the Sharks are struggling, that could be. I wouldn't put that on 0.0.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, dude, because I still think that they're a decent match as far as.
You could be right.
As what both teams need.
I think that's more rose-colored glasses for us than it is for anything else. But we'll have to revisit that in the coming weeks and see at least after the season starts, and see how Calgary's faring. But now let's get to the shootout. First item, which has been lighting the internet's on fire. Patrick Kane apparently was in a, he was in a taxi cab. Apparently so. And
this is allegedly.
Allegedly. And allegedly he beat up a cab driver.
Allegedly.
Yes. In his hometown of Buffalo. You know, and the funny thing is this really, you know, it really coincides quite well with, you know, the new Patrick Kane and the Wailers album, which is going to hit stores, you know, any day now.
I punched a cabbie 'cause he wouldn't give me 20 cents. I punched a cabbie. I swear it wasn't self-defense. Gonna blame it on my cousin. I don't even know his name. What's his name?
Larry?
Popo ain't gonna pin this assault on me.
Don't you know I'm Patrick Kane? Don't you know who I am? Now give me my change, you old fart. I'll punch you in the prostate, pops. You're gonna be my Dale Talon, bitch. I punched the cabbie, cause he wouldn't give me 20 cents.
That's a good record.
I would buy that single, dude.
It's good. I think we're gonna see that on iTunes any second now.
Singing's a little questionable.
Well, you know, but the harmonies are brilliant. Well, Patrick Kane, I'm sure you know, since we're in the middle of summer, there's gonna be so much ink on, or electrons or whatever, on Patrick Kane. So I'm sure we'll be there. Might even be more songs from the new record.
The only electrons are going to be on his electronic ankle bracelet.
Yeah, the low jack or whatever he's going to be wearing.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's the curse of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I mean, they have offended the hockey gods, dude.
We will talk about that in a future show.
Okay.
Last story, Nikolaj Zverev, arbitration award of almost $4 million. Rangers said no thanks. He then went to Russia. Via Con Dios?
Yeah, they don't play any defense over there anyways, so
yeah, might as well.
Have a good time. I mean, it's really interesting, dude, and maybe this is also a topic for another show that, I mean, really the KHL has become another team to compete with for NHL franchises, and it seems like a lot of NHL teams are sort of calling some players' bluffs here and saying, we're not going to pay you that kind of money. If you want to go over to the KHL and get it, good luck. Have fun. We'll see you when you come back or you're freezing your butt off.
Ray Emery.
Or you can go play in Edmonton. Hey-o!
Where you'll also be freezing your butt off.
Ray Emery.
Well, that does it this week for Dudes on Hockey. Make sure to check out our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and we'll be back again next week. Same time, same place.
Or we'll see you on Facebook.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.